time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
August 3rd, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Got a good show for you today. I've got Dave Lindorf coming up in the second hour today. We're going to talk a little bit about an article that he wrote this week on martial law. We're going to touch a little bit on Pat Tillman. In the meantime, let me make a couple quick announcements. Anybody that wants a copy of Freedom to Fascism, please feel free to email Bobby at freedom777@safe-mail.net. Again, that's freedom777@safe-mail.net. Now, I want to mention here, I've got a guest coming up next Thursday who is a producer, has produced a movie, and it's called Uncivil Liberties. As a matter of fact, I believe he runs a commercial on our network. I'm going to have him up as a guest along with one of the actors in the film. I had the pleasure of having a conversation with this fellow last night, and I'm going to view the movie before I have him on the air Thursday. Now, I keep promoting Freedom to Fascism, folks, and I don't know if everybody that wanted one has got one. I keep telling you, share it with your friends, neighbors, relatives, you know, kind of get them enlightened. But I'm going to preview this movie, Uncivil Liberties, and if I like this movie, I'm going to start promoting this movie because I saw a little snippet from it, and I'm telling you, from what I saw, folks, it is fantastic. So, you know, the jury's still out on whether I'm going to promote it or not, but I just want to give everybody a heads up that if indeed this movie lives up to what I think it's going to live up to, I'm going to start promoting this movie because if, like I say, in watching the trailer for this movie, I was sucked in and I wanted to get a copy of it right away. The producer is sending me a copy of it. I am going to view it. He will be up Thursday. So you don't want to miss that show, and I'm not sure which actor. It's either going to be one of the lead actor or the lead actress in the movie that's going to be up with him. So that'll be a good show. And of course, we have Don Nikoloff coming up Tuesday. Now, one other thing I want to mention is that yesterday, for those of you who listen to John's show, he had a guest on by the name of Francine Kelly who was sharing an experience with her about her son being kidnapped. And she really didn't expound as much on her story as she should. John kind of, she started touching on ET or UFO or something of that nature. And then John kind of, I don't want to say cut her off, but kind of, you know, wouldn't let her go there. And so what I'd like to do, for the folks who listened to John's show yesterday that are listening to my show, I would like to get some input. I didn't hear the full story. Hillary Clinton is involved in this, and I was really wanting to hear more about that. For those of you who would be interested in hearing more about that story and how specifically Clinton is involved in it, give us a call at 800-313-9443. And I may just have her up on the air again next Wednesday. So I would really be interested in your input. For those of you who listened to John's show yesterday and heard Francine Kelly's testimony on the kidnapping of her son, then please give me a call today. Let me know your feelings on it. And I've already chatted with the people in the office about it, and they'd like to hear the rest of the story. So I would just like to hear from you folks to see if you feel the same way I feel, and you'd like to have her expound on what she was saying. I'd be real curious to know that. Now, also, yesterday, during a break, I was talking about police brutality. And during the break, speaking of break, here comes a break. I'll be back at 3, and I'm going to cover this when I get back on this cop watch deal that my engineer Marcus mentioned to me yesterday. Be back in 3, and I'll cover that. See you in a little bit. Stick with me.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Back. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Phone lines are open for the first hour, 800-313-9443. If you listened to John's show yesterday and you heard Francine Kelly's testimony on her son's kidnapping, and also she was talking about the possibility of Hillary Clinton being involved, I'd be curious to hear if you'd like to have her, her expound a little bit more on the story. So give us a call at 800-313-9443 and give me your views on it. Yesterday, I was talking about police brutality, and I was telling you to go into some websites and look around. You can go in and Google police brutality and look at all these situations where these police are beating people up. And Marcus, my engineer during the break, second hour, had told me, he asked me if I was a member of Cop Watch, of which I didn't know that there was such a thing as Cop Watch. I didn't know it existed. So he gave me a website here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I called these people, and I also emailed these people. I've called them twice, I've emailed them twice, and I've gotten no response. But I looked and perused around their website for, oh, I don't know, about 20, 30 minutes, and I was clicking on this item and that item, and I came up with some clips. They have a clip of them interviewing, doing a press conference with Sheriff Joe Arpaio here in Phoenix, and I was real curious because it was about a 20-minute press conference, and they were pressing Sheriff Arpaio about his position on arresting illegals, and the position that they were taking is that he shouldn't be doing it. Now, if that's the case, and I don't know, I have a call into them and they haven't returned my call. If that's the case, then if that's what Cop Watch is all about, which I hope it isn't, then I am avidly opposed to that, because I think, at least on that particular subject, Sheriff Arpaio is doing a good job, because he is putting the heat on these illegals that are coming over the border, and he is arresting them, and he is detaining them. And I do commend Sheriff Arpaio for that. Now, also on the subject of police brutality, I want to make a quick mention for those of you who are aware of Deborah Kuhn. That's a lady with her husband that were hanging their flag on a flagpole upside down, saying that the country was in distress, and there was a sheriff that knocked on the door, came in, broke into their house. Ultimately, they were arrested. Those charges have been dropped, and her attorney was fired because of her attorney was obviously wanting them to plea bargain, and she got rid of the attorney. The charges were dropped. The sheriff stepped up to the plate, did the right thing, and it just goes to show you folks that if you stand up and you take a no-nonsense attitude and you show them that you're not going to back down, good things happen. Now, on that subject, I wanted to mention also that there is a meeting that is going on up in Canada, which a lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with, on the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the merging of our three countries. And the United States Army is to enforce a huge security perimeter around the upcoming North American Union meeting in Canada this August, as well as cracking down on suspect or expected protests, having already shut down a public forum due to take place close to the event. An 18-mile perimeter, folks, is going to be cordoned off. There is no protest. They are not allowing anyone to protest that. They're going to have Canadian military. They're going to have United States military there. And this is a blatant disregard for our First Amendment rights. These people are treasonous. They are going up there and carrying on an event that is merging, ultimately, our union into the Canadian Union and the Mexican Union, and making it one, as you know, the NAU. And these people that are up there in the meeting that are orchestrating these events are treasonous. And they're telling us we don't have the right to protest, which just goes to show you that it's becoming more and more of a police state every day. So it's time to step up. Like I said on the show yesterday, you need to grab a camera. You need to take this camera out when you go anywhere. You need to film. If you see somebody getting pulled over by a policeman, film it. Stop. Film it. Okay? Watch for him to do anything out of the ordinary. It's getting real serious here. The Security and Prosperity Partnership meeting in Montebello, Quebec, on August 20th and 21st is to be policed by American forces who, along with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Sûreté du Québec, have already refused to allow the municipality of Papineauville, which is about 6 kilometers from Montebello, to rent a community center to the Council of Canadians Action Group, who were planning to hold a public forum the night before the confab to express their concerns about the meeting and the issues that are being discussed. It is deplorable that we are being prevented from bringing together a panel of writers, academics such as Jerry Corsi, and parliamentarians to share their concerns about the Security and Prosperity Partnership with Canadians. And this was said by Brent Patterson, the director of organizing the Council of Canadians. Meanwhile, 6 kilometers away, corporate leaders from the United States, Mexico, and Canada will have unimpeded access to our political leaders. The Council of Canadians has also been told that in addition to a 25-kilometer perimeter in Montebello, there will be checkpoints in nearby areas, and vehicles carrying more than 5 people will be turned back. A whole host of other Canadian activist groups are scheduled protests despite the military cordon. According to a journalist and NAU researcher Jerome Corsi, the protesters believe that as many as 10,000 people could assemble in Quebec to demonstrate. One particular activist group, the Canadian Action Party, has taken issue with U.S. troops coordinating operations for the confab on Canadian soil while denying access to Canadian citizens. CAP's leader said, "Bad enough that our RCMP and the Quebec Provincial Police Force would apply offensive Canadian law to prevent the legitimate meeting of dissenting citizens. Totally untenable that a foreign army assumes jurisdiction on our land." But this we knew from the binational planning agreement begun in 2002 that saw Canada crawl on its belly and permit the USA military to enter our land whenever it deemed necessary. Excuse me. Does anyone still believe that our federal leaders have not thrown away our sovereignty? That from Cretan liberal to Martin liberal to Harper conservative, the prime ministers of our land have not been committing treason behind closed doors. How many could not believe that? How otherwise would it be possible that a proud sovereign and free nation would see a foreign army on its soil interfering with the right of Canadians to assemble and speak? Elite lobbying group of Council on Foreign Relations seeded the plan for a North American Advisory Council, which eventually became the SPP. It comes as no surprise that NAU researchers that the latest SPP meeting will be a highly secretive and guarded affair, given that CFR documents have revealed that the group wants to establish private bodies that would meet regularly or annually to buttress North American relationships along the lines of the Bilderberg conferences. Internal SPP documents released under the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, have also shown that a wide range of U.S. administrative law is being rewritten in stealth under this program to integrate and, here's that buzzword again, harmonize. They use that in Codex Alimentarius as well. They love that word. Harmonize with administrative law in Mexico and Canada in a similar fashion that moves to have become commonplace with the European Union. These documents contain references to upwards of 13 working groups within an entire organized infrastructure that is drawn from officials within most areas of administering government, including U.S. Department of State, Homeland Security, Commerce, Treasury, Agriculture, Transportation, Energy, Health, and Human Services, and the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. During the upcoming SPP meeting, an advisory council created last year known as the North American Competitiveness Council will meet on issues including border regulation and competitiveness in the automotive, transportation, manufacturing, and service sectors. The council is expected to meet annually with security and prosperity ministers and will engage with senior government officials on an ongoing basis. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper is scheduled to host the Quebec annual summit in which Mexican President Felipe Calderon and U.S. President George W. Bush are planning to attend. The highest elected officials within the U.S., Canadian, and Mexican governments are meeting together with advisory bodies staffed by senior private sector representatives, yet the public are being forcibly denied any access to the event, in addition to pathetic blackout on behalf of the corporate media, which still ridicules anyone who suggests the North American Union plan even exists. This is absolutely pathetic, folks. And you know what? You know, it's a spinoff on the police state. They're merging us into a North American Union. They deny it. They want us to have no say-so in it. They're outlawing anybody to get close to it. They don't want any protesting of it. And then here we have federal agents searching people at Indianapolis bus stops, air marshals patting civilians down. I mean, how much worse is this? Well, it is going to get worse, but I mean, it's already bad enough. Welcome to another creeping slide towards the Big Brother state. On August 2nd, 2007, over two dozen agents of the TSA set up two checkpoints at bus stops in Indianapolis, Indiana, and searched passengers who wanted to ride on city buses. Federal agents, including air marshals, were present and patted people down, looking in bags, and performed behavior tests for the stated purpose of finding weapons and people who were a threat to public safety. I'm riding a bus? I mean, come on. Before you think I'm joking, let me refer to both the Indianapolis Star report as well as posted first-person reports of what happened yesterday and why it affects us all. Thanks to the Daily Cost readers, this has been found to be part of an 18-month-old federal operation. The first reports heard something on yesterday seems like a blogging hoax. It says, anybody know what's going on? There are TSA stations with about 20 agents each set up at least two spots in downtown Indy. One is near Capitol and Market, the other is near the federal building. They're stopping and searching people, getting on and off city buses, and traveling on the street. This is going a little too far. Where exactly did this authority come from? I thought this had to be a hoax, since the TSA surely had better things to do than hassle people riding buses in a major U.S. city. But over the day, more and more reports came in confirming that not only were searches being made, but that they were being made by federal agents, including air marshals, and that many agencies were involved. Now, then came a report from the Indianapolis Star. Listen to this one. Screeners from the Transportation Security Administration checked passengers at two downtown city bus stops this morning looking for weapons and suspicious behavior. I wonder how many other towns this is going on that we don't know about or somebody out there has seen. If you have, call in and report it. I'd like to know. David Kane, Federal Security Director for TSA in Indianapolis, called it a Viper operation. It's called Visual
visual intermodal prevention response. We have plainclothes inspectors, blue glove uniform security officers who are checking baggage, the behavior detentions officer, and federal air marshals, which are the law enforcement arm of TSA. We'll be back in three. I've got more for you. Stick with me. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm talking about these TSA officers that are patting people down. They're searching people, getting on buses in Indianapolis, for crying out loud. And I wonder how many other cities that they're doing this in that are going unreported. Federal air marshals are doing this, folks. Let me continue with this. Security stations were set up at bus stops at Capitol Avenue and Market Street and Ohio and Meridian Street. Some passengers were patted down or submitted to having bags checked. The TSA says the searches were by permission, meaning patrons could decline to be checked. Those who did would not be turned away, an official said, unless they otherwise appeared to be a security threat. So to be clear, 20 or more agents of the federal government came to Indianapolis downtown and set up two search stops for those wanting to ride a bus. People could decline legally, but only if they knew they could. Traveler safety was the excuse, but in reality, all were on an explicit phishing operation that included everything plus behavior detection officers. Did people even know they could decline the search? I mean, that is unclear, but at least one report indicates that the TSA weren't even aware of local law. For those who do not know, and I'm sure that most listeners out there do, there's some new people coming on, you need to know this. Indiana allows licensed individuals to carry firearms and accepts permits from other states for individuals to carry firearms as well. We have the highest per capita concealed carry population in the nation, and the TSA was not even aware of our laws. Now, listen to this story. My wife has a cousin who lives in Indy, and he was one of the lucky ones who volunteered for a pat-down. He, like me, recognizes the value in being prepared for one's own self-defense. The screener asked if he could be patted down for weapons, to which he responded, "I'll save you the trouble. My licensed handgun is on my right hip." The screener thought he was joking. Once she realized he was serious, she announced that there was a situation and called for the reinforcement. A situation when a guy's legally licensed to carry a gun. He was told rudely, "You cannot carry a gun around here." And he replied, "I bet I can. This isn't an airport." By then, the supervisor walked over, took a quick look at his Kentucky CCW, that's his concealed weapons permit, and asked the Indianapolis PD next to him if it was any good. The Indy cop replied that the CCW from any state or country is valid in Indiana. So the supervisor declared in a loud voice to let him proceed. Treat anyone with a CCW like a cop and pass them on. Needless to say, though, he had a very quiet bus ride with lots of passengers staring at him the whole time. There's your answer, folks. Go get a concealed weapons permit. Carry a weapon on the bus if you're riding it, okay? They'll leave you alone. Aside from being galled at the concept of this kind of thing, I think it's pretty sad that the federal security professionals need to learn the rules as they go. One would think that if you were supposed to set up a checkpoint to screen for weapons, you do a preliminary check to see what was against the law in Indiana, what was permitted, etc. It goes to show how arbitrary the whole thing is. So what was this operation? Why was it indeed? And what does it mean for all of us? First, it was a clear encroachment of our Fourth Amendment rights, even if it was legal because individuals could refuse it. The fact that law enforcement is searching people without cause is an encroachment. Second, it was an encroachment done by the federal government in the guise of proposed safety. While Indianapolis has had crime problems, the bus system has not been the hub of those problems, nor have any federal crimes been committed on Indianapolis buses. Third, it was a federal operation performed by those who are not even aware of the law. Since they had no understanding of Indiana weapons laws and were performing weapon searches, why should I have any confidence in their understanding of and care for constitutional law in regards to personal searches? Fourth, it was a federal investigation of civilians that used our federal tax dollars to search bus passengers, who, if criminal, could have moved on to the next bus stop or just declined the search. The very same air marshals that are supposed to be protecting our plans are searching people at bus stops. This operation could hardly have been an effective expenditure of resources, especially as no reported arrests or confiscations took place. Fifth, the stop seems to be better explained as a test of what encroachment Americans will accept. Exactly. They're conditioning us. And the fact that only one article has mentioned it, sparsely at that, makes their test a likely success for federal agencies that seek to expand their powers. So now it's up to us to decide again what is acceptable and what is not. Personally, I plan to contact my congressman in the morning, as it was a federal operation, and demand some basic investigations done. Specifically, the following questions. Why my tax dollars were spent this way? Now, I'm reading this from somebody else, folks, not me. What specific threat was this addressing? What clear Fourth Amendment considerations were taken in the planning and made clear in the searches? What effect this event was expected to have among the population? And why were federal agents unaware of Indiana law when they were to search for violations of that law? Was any notification given to the public before the event, as done with roadblocks? In a time where there are concerns for not having enough air marshals on commercial planes, why do we have them at bus stops rather than airports? Are there plans to continue this program or expand it to other cities? We should all expect federal agents to be searching citizens in our streets with no cause. I also plan to send a letter to Indiana ACLU and the mayor's office. Well, it just adds to the continually growing police state. And, I mean, I can go on and on and on here. I run across these websites, and I run across these journals and daily reportings, and it just appalls me how many of these I see. I get emails every day. I get calls in for help on this situation and that situation, and there just are not enough hours in the day. Now, there was an excerpt in there regarding the Fourth Amendment. Well, Bush just abolished the Fourth Amendment. We'll be back in three, and I'll tell you about that. Stick with me. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, Bush just abolished the Fourth Amendment. He continues his efforts to destroy the United States Constitution and transform the office of the president into a dictatorship. Today, George Bush has issued a new executive order, similar to the July 17, 2007 executive order, that allows the government to potentially seize the property of anybody when they are determined without due process was undermining the Iraqi war and reconstruction effort. The language in that executive order was so entirely broad in scope that the executive order even applied to war protesters and political dissidents who might be indirectly undermining the Iraq war reconstruction effort. The new executive order is similar in nature and uses broad language, and this is the key here, folks, broad language, to allow the government to seize the property of anybody who they believe is attempting to undermine the sovereignty of Lebanon or its democratic processors and institution. This executive order essentially makes both the Fourth and Fifth Amendments null and void. Well, if you're Lebanese and you want to contribute to their reconstruction, forget it, or at least hide your money. Let's go to CJ in Missouri. CJ, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Michael, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you of an incident that occurred, that happened to me in the Newark airport. I fly internationally as a flight attendant all over Europe out of JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be flying out of Newark at this particular time. And I had reached into my pocket of my dress to pull out my cockpit keys, and my ID was clipped underneath my chin onto my dress, my photographic ID with my name, etc., on it. And I was ordered, because I had reached into my pocket to take my cockpit keys out, to put them into the tray, to be searched when I got through the screening process. I was told by a female to sit down and to raise my legs at a 45-degree angle.
You're kidding me.
There were approximately three men 10 feet away. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I had on my uniform dress. I was in my uniform blazer. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She then said, stand up. And I stood up. And she took her wand, and she took her wand and raised it between my legs. At which point I said, get away from me, stand back, do not touch me again. At which point I gathered up my my gear, my tote, my rollerboard, etc., and I left and I went to my airplane. For this, I was reported to my supervisor. And needless to say, I did make a report about this female TSA agent. And these are the kinds of things that are not only happening to passengers, but they are happening to flight crew as well, in uniform with their ID clipped underneath their chin on their dress, as well as pilots.
It's a power thing, and they're conditioning us, all of us, CJ. And this is appalling. This is abominable. And not only that, but these TSA agents that are humiliating old ladies, people such as yourself, flight attendants in uniform, they're also going to the place of standing at bus stops now and searching people before they get on the bus. Don't they have anything better to do?
Exactly. I remember a 94-year-old woman. I was working on a 757, and she came on board. She was weeping in tears because they had done the same thing to her. I remember in Eagle, Colorado, there was a 5-year-old little girl, blonde hair, blue eyes. They did the exact same thing to. What is this country coming to? I used to live behind the Iron Curtain in a police state. Happened to be Berlin. We spent a lot of time in East Berlin. My husband was in the diplomatic service, and we saw what a police state looked like up close and personal.
Well,
and I'll tell you, it is not pretty. And Americans, wake up, because its police state is on its way.
I was going to ask you, since you spent time behind the Iron Curtain, now I don't know, what time frame was this, CJ?
65 to 68.
Okay, 65 to 68. So tell me, from your 3 years of experience over behind the Iron Curtain, and this is before Perestroika, this is before, tear down that wall.
Right.
Okay, from your experience, how different or how close to what you experienced over there is going on here now?
Well, I'll tell you, we went through Checkpoint Charlie on a regular basis, but because we had diplomatic passports, they did not and could not check us. So I personally did not experience that particular aspect of going through a checkpoint. But I will tell you about a 19-year-old boy named Peter Fechter in July of 1965. He crossed the 400-meter death strip. He crossed by the dragon's teeth to keep, vehicles out. He got by the dogs, the towers, the machine guns, etc. He did get to the wall before they had modernized it and made cylinders that would roll back into East Berlin. He got his hands on the top of the wall. They finally spotted him. They machine gunned him in the back. They left him as an example to anybody who would dare try to escape with the quote-unquote freedom of the West. It took him 50 minutes to bleed to death, and the West German police could not get to him.
Well, let me ask you this question. As long as I got you on here, I'm going to pick your brain for a minute. do you believe the official story of Ronald Reagan saying, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall? I mean, the official, because the communism is over with now, the Cold War is over. Or do you lean more towards that the reason the wall came down is because there's no reason anymore
to have the wall up. In other words, we're so much like them now, okay, that it makes no difference.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah, and it's getting worse every day. This thing that's going on up in, I'm sure you're familiar with the North American Union.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and they've got the SPP meetings going on up there on August 20th and 21st. There's an 18-mile perimeter where the military is up there. They will not allow protesters. There's a presidential order that was signed on July 17th that is going to seize the assets of anybody that holds up a sign and says, I'm against the Iraq war. I mean, this is getting progressively worse and worse and worse. And at some
rapidly.
Point... Right, and people have to draw their line in the sand. And I commend you. That you did a good job there. What you proved by not allowing this woman to interfere and humiliate you is you proved that there is a line that can be drawn, and that what was the repercussions of that? What, they sent a report? That was it? What?
Oh, I had to go up before my supervisor. How dare I do this? Coming through TSA, coming through a security checkpoint.
Well,
international flight attendant in uniform, ID, photograph, badge, clipped underneath my chin onto my dress in full uniform, and to be treated in such a manner like I said, why don't you go after the real terrorists and the real criminals instead of people who work on airplanes as flight crew?
It just makes you wonder if they put these TSA applicants through a psychological evaluation to find out just how evil they are. I know that the getting into a government job, they put you through certain psychological evaluations, and I've personally had experience with these people to the point where, unless I absolutely have to, with all due respect to you as a flight attendant, I'm sure you're a good one, unless I absolutely have to, I refuse to fly. Go ahead.
May I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
If I could not come through a checkpoint at an airport in my uniform, I would not fly either. I would not subject myself to the treatment through which they are putting people.
Well, now, let me ask you, can I ask you what airline of which you are employed or not?
I would prefer not to say.
Okay. Let me ask you this question.
But it's very, very large.
Okay. I don't know how long you've been listening to RBN, but... The official Keene Hamilton Commission report of 9/11, since you are a flight attendant, do you believe the official story of 9/11?
Absolutely not.
Okay. But
Absolutely not.
There's a reason why I asked you that question, CJ, because I was on a flight, and I will say the airlines, it was Southwest. I was on a flight that I had to be on because otherwise I wouldn't be. I had to go to a wedding a couple weeks ago. And I was sitting right in the front row, and you know how the flight attendants are right there by the door. They have that little jump seat there. Okay.
Right.
They were sitting, and I was communicating with the flight attendant, and we were on the subject. We approached on the subject of 9/11 and some of the rules that have been implemented since 9/11 and so forth and so on. And as I was walking off the jet, she had made a comment, and I said, are you not familiar by now that 9/11 was an inside job? And she laughed at me. She said,
really?
Oh, another kook.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I thought, now I'm a member, I don't know whether you're familiar with Pilots for 9/11 Truth, but I'm a pilot, okay, and there's a myriad of pilots in there, and pilots with thousands and tens of thousands of hours that have flown for every major airline in the country that are in there that know that 9/11 was an inside job because I've interviewed I've interviewed John Lear, okay, who's was a pilot for 30 some odd years, and, him and I've never flown a 757, but him and I are in agreement that a 757 could not have performed the maneuver that, or it would have been literally almost impossible to perform a maneuver at 500 miles an hour to crash into the Pentagon or even the World Trade Center for that matter. So the story's full, right, but my question to you being in the industry and dealing with pilots on a daily basis and fellow flight attendants and so forth, in your estimation, I mean, is that a no-no subject? Is that something you guys don't talk about? Or, is it something that, you know, there are certain ones of you that know and they say, well, shh, don't say anything, or what?
No. That's not the case at all. I personally don't talk about it with the flight attendants, but I do talk about it with the pilots.
And what percentage of the pilots, in your estimation, know that it's an inside job or that it's, you know, not true?
I would say a fairly good percentage know it was an inside job.
Okay. And so did they not put you guys through increased, classes or education on how to thwart terrorism and what to look for and so forth?
The answer is yes.
And also, do they, what's the word I want to use? Do they racially profile in your estimation?
No.
Okay, because I have heard a couple of incidences where there were Arab-looking people sitting on a plane, and they were dragged off and tasered. So I'm just picking your brain because I happen to have you online, on the air, and I'm saying, okay, I was talking to this lady, and I was walking off an airplane, and I mentioned that to this lady, and she told me I was a kook. And, of course, in that particular incident, I could not turn around and walk back without getting stampeded by a bunch of people getting off the plane.
Sure.
But now that I've got a flight attendant, okay, that is on the other end of the line here on the air, I'm saying, yeah, and you're anonymous, okay. We don't know what airline you work for. We don't know your last name, so we really don't know who you are.
Right.
But for the sake of my listeners, from your perspective, the majority of the pilots, which, by the way, is no surprise to me being a pilot, but the majority of the pilots are aware that the entire thing is a farce. I mean,
I would
as far
have
as
to say yes.
Okay. Boy, I'm telling you, that's scary. Now, other thing.
Number one, I will tell you this, Michael. Jet fuel burns at 1,250 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
In order to melt steel, my father was an MIT engineer, ran a steel mill for 40 years. You can't melt steel at 1,250 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right. It's 2,755, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
You cannot melt steel at that temperature.
Okay. Now, next question. Here's a good one, because this is some. See, being a pilot, now I've never flown an airliner, but I've owned two airplanes myself, and I have always had, CJ, a real problem of flying over 3,000 feet and trying to use a cell phone.
Yes.
So have you ever had any passenger ever that you have noticed that has used a cell phone at 30,000 feet?
No.
Right, because they don't work.
They don't work.
And that's the story that was passed off to us by Ted Olson and his wife, Barbara, who died in the crash. And then it was changed, I believe, and then he was using the cabin phones, which we've already proved through 9/11, through an Freedom of Information Act, that on that particular type of airliner or that specific flight or that N number of airplane, the cabin phones weren't even working that day.
Right.
So we know that the
767.
Right. So we know that the story is full of holes. So when they put you through this intensive training, additional training, to look for terrorists and so, what are you thinking during this time? What's going through your head when they're putting through telling you what to look for and what they can carry? You can't carry liquids on the plane and all this stuff. What's going through your head when you know it's all a farce?
Well, let me tell you what they do to us in London, coming through security in London. We go through separate security in London, not with the passengers at all. And they are now doing the same thing to us. In fact, the last time that I came through security in London, I was, they checked my suitcase, and they said, well, you have liquids in here. I said, you're taking it on the airplane. I said, yes, that's correct. I'm a flight attendant. And it made me very angry. And now what they're doing, they have upped the ante. They are now testing if you have something in your rollerboard or your tote. They're testing it right then and there. Now, this is coming through security in London. And the security is a lot harder and tougher there. I don't know what it is for passengers, only flight crew, because we go in a separate place. Our bus takes us to a whole separate area. But it makes me very angry that I'm being treated in such a disrespectful, degrading manner. And I am working on the airplane as flight crew.
Yeah. Now, is it the same for the pilots? The pilots go through security in their screen, and, they have the wand run up and down them as well?
Yes.
Okay. So so they have to have the same fear, especially these pilots that know the whole thing is a farce, that 9/11 was an inside job to begin with.
And they are very angry about all this, being subjected to this.
And this is one of the main reasons why we need a new 9/11 investigation, and that's what we're all pushing for. How long have you been an RBN listener, CJ?
For quite a while now.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, that when I was growing up as a child, 10, 12 years old, we talked about all these things around the dinner table. my father bought 3,000 copies of John Stormer's None Dare Call It Treason, and we passed them all out. And that was many, many years ago.
So when 9/11 happened, you're one of those people that looked at it and were suspicious to begin with, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But it looked like a controlled demolition. How could you not think that?
Well, you could not think of it. You could not think that if you were brain dead like me and didn't pay any attention. You know,
right.
The light bulb didn't even go off in my head until about 2 years later. I ran across a video, Loose Change, and even then I looked at it. It was over Thanksgiving holiday, and I didn't think too much of it, except for the fact that it looked like there was some weird stuff going on. And I brought it up to my family. They all said you were nuts, and so I let it alone for another year before I really started looking at it and got bored with the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at any rate, no, it's nice to know. You know, if I'll tell you what, there's a website called Pilots for 9/11 Truth. Have you heard of that website?
Yes, I have.
Pilots for 9/11truth.org. And from this point on, your mission, should you decide to accept it, CJ, is to inform all the pilots in your crew on whatever flight you've got, just point it out to them and tell them to go in there and have a look. It's a very professionally done website, and I think maybe some of them will even sign on. Anyway, hey, listen, it's been wonderful having you on. I really appreciate your call in, CJ. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, got to go to a break. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. There you've heard it from a flight attendant's mouth. Be back in a bit.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Boy, I tell you, that was an interesting call. You got that one right from the proverbial horse's mouth. There's a lady that works on the airlines, flight attendant, and she attests more than half the pilots know that 9/11 was an inside job. Listen, I got a few minutes left, and I've got Dave Lindorf, who has a website, Can't Be Happening, thiscan'tbehappening.net, coming up the second hour. But I wanted to cover this real quick. This Minnesota bridge that collapsed the other day, it had been determined that for a long time that it had been in bad need of repair. And this article here, AOL News, says that more than 70,000 bridges across the country are rated structurally deficient, like the span that collapsed in Minneapolis. And engineers estimate repairing them would take at least a generation and cost more than $188 billion. But isn't it funny that on the one hand, we've got our infrastructure, our lifeblood, collapsing under our feet because Minneapolis was just one of them. There was one that collapsed in California here not too long ago, if you recall. We've got our infrastructure collapsing under our feet. But do you think our dear decider, our Führer, if you will pay any attention to that? No. Bush budget puts pinch on domestic spending. This article out of, Boston.com, National News. Boost the war fund. Hits to health care. President Bush yesterday proposed deep cuts to federal health care, education, and guess what? Transportation programs, searching for new money in the federal budget to pay for increasingly costly defense programs in the war in Iraq. That's right. Spend all this money, George, so you can continue to kill, bomb, and maim innocent people in Iraq. That's right. That you're on the right track there, George. The president's $2.9 trillion spending plan calls for saving $100 billion in Medicare and Medicaid payments. Oh, I'm sure our senior citizens are going to love that one. And for limiting eligibility in the state children's health insurance program, a change that could result in the loss of health care for children in Massachusetts and other states. Bush said the cuts will help balance the federal budget. I can't take this. This guy, whoever said that this guy was a conservative? It balanced the federal budget by 2012, even as the nation spends $141.7 billion next year on fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Right. If you just pulled them out and you took that money you were spending in Afghanistan and Iraq, in 1 year and 3 months, you could fix all those bridges, George. Then he goes on to say, as I'm sticking the spoon farther down my throat, our priority is to protect the American people, Bush said after a cabinet meeting where he introduced his fiscal 2008 budget. By allowing bridges to collapse and allow people to die going off into the ocean or into the sea or into the river or the lake or whatever it is, I strongly believe Congress needs to listen to a budget which has no tax increase and a budget because of fiscal discipline that can be balanced in 5 years. What a bunch of poppycock. But Bush faces a skeptical audience on Capitol Hill. Democratic leaders pledged to halt planned cuts in health and education, and lawmakers in both parties said they will scrutinize the spending plan on the Iraq war. Yay. Well, there you have it, folks. I mean, I don't know what to say. This guy, I had to show the other day whether this guy is deranged or delusional. He's got a plan, but the plan is not about our sovereignty. We all know that by now. Listen, I'll be back in 2 minutes. I'll have my guest, Dave Lindorf. He wrote an article the first of the week called Martial Law, Threat is Real, Lucky the Military is Breaking Down. Real curious to see what he has to say about that. We might touch a little bit on Pat Tillman. Stick with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes. The American Awakening.
It's true. Gold and silver.